You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
There is an ancient Tibetan practice of earth treasure vases. These clay vases are created and empowered to bring healing, stabilization, and immeasurable blessings when they are ritually buried in the earth. Today we're speaking with Cynthia Jers, the facilitator of a 30-year worldwide trek to bury these precious vases in distressed places on the planet. They're activators of Gaia's acupuncture meridians and set in motion healing on many levels, socially, physically, and spiritually. Cynthia Jers is a Dharmachara of the Order of Interbeing of Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh. In 2018, she was made an honorary lama in recognition of her dedication to the practice of earth treasure vases and her commitment to ritually bury them all around the planet in service to Gaia. This practice for Jers is deeply rooted in the feminine, honoring indigenous traditions and teachings of an embodied, engaged, sacred activism dedicated to global healing and collective awakening. Jers leads meditations and pilgrimages and retreats and has a published newsletter through her website, GaiaMandala.net. She's the author of Summoned by the Earth, Becoming a Holy Vessel for Healing Our World. Join us for the next hour as we explore the formidable assignment of planting empowered clay vases around the world with our guest, Cynthia Jers. I'm speaking with Cynthia in her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Cynthia, welcome.
Thank you so much, Justine. It's just a joy and a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it certainly is my pleasure. I've just been immersed in your book now for several weeks now, and I would love for you to start off and help us to understand your intention, your motivation and intention regarding these earth treasure vases.
Thank you so much. I've always loved and cared about the earth ever since I was a child. And I think at a certain point, I was really wondering, you know, what can I do? What can I do to bring benefit to the earth and to all beings? I've studied in the Buddhist tradition for many years. And, you know, that's one of the things that we vow to do is to benefit others. And then one day I received an invitation to go to Nepal to meet an old wise man in the cave.
Oh, we see cartoons about this, or we see references to this, and really trekking up the mountain with a group of people.
Yeah.
Was this your first trip to India and Nepal?
No, it was not. It was not. But so I was already kind of semi-immersed in the Buddhist world, both through Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh, who's really my root teacher, and then through connections with a number of lamas in the Tibetan tradition. But this was 1990, and a dear friend was going to Nepal and invited me to accompany him. And when I heard about the opportunity to meet this, literally, you know, the proverbial old wise man in the cave, I was compelled to want to go. And it was just a small group of us, literally just a few of us. And then I was walking up the path, you know, in these highest mountains in the world. And I realized that I had an incredible opportunity to ask a question of the old wise man in the cave, just like the cartoons.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to ask him, you know? And I didn't really know what to make of that.
So you knew that this was an opportunity for something profound, the possibility of something very profound.
Yeah, yeah. And then I began to have this feeling of connection to the earth, which I always do, but it became conscious for me that because I was suffering, you know, I was walking up these high altitude paths and everything, and I was feeling the call of the earth in myself, you know. And I said to myself, well, what can I do to bring healing and protection to the earth, you know? And when I came to that, I realized, oh, that's my question for the old man, you know. And so as soon as I landed on that, it was like, that's all I could think about. And that's all that was all that mattered. And so, you know, I was motivated really in the question at the time. This was 1990. I was motivated by the realization that maybe, you know, I'm sure you do, Joanna Macy, who's been one of my great teachers. She was bringing out at the time the whole idea of nuclear guardianship and the fact that, you know, the radioactive waste that's coming off of the production of nuclear weapons, for example, which is happening here in New Mexico at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. This was really becoming very clear to me what an issue this really is. And how those substances affect the web of life for a very, very long time. And so it was like that was on my mind, in my heart, as I approached the cave and, you know, was wondering, like, how are we going to deal with this? You know, not to mention all the other things that are going on, were already starting to go on with droughts and floods and all of the imbalances in the world that are now even more so. So I was feeling all of that, Justine, and so that was the question that I brought forward.
And he gave you an assignment. I could just imagine you receiving this and saying, what?
Yeah.
So what was the assignment he gave you?
So the assignment was to get these earth treasure vases or vases and put them in the ground, and they will do that work of bringing healing and protection to the whole area around where they're planted. And these are clay pots that are made usually in the monasteries by the monks in a very particular way, according to the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, filled with prayers and offerings that are symbolic of healing and protection and restoration and enhancement and, you know, prosperity and all of those wonderful things. And you know, and it's like they're planted like a seed into the earth in places that need healing and protection, you know, which is a wonderful idea. But I thought to myself, well, but really and truly, how is a little clay pot filled with prayers going to address the kinds of things that we're talking about today? But the other part of me was going, okay, where can I get some? Because we have to approach this healing problem in the world from every single angle. You know, like, who's to say how it's going to get done? It's got to be addressed in so many ways, from so many perspectives. And so I thought, okay, well, this is what's coming to me. I guess I should follow this through, you know? And so I did. And I was directed to go to another monastery where we met another incredible Lama, and who agreed to make them for us. And I was told again and again, just put them in the ground. They'll do the work.
You know, when one of the fascinating pieces of this story that I'd love for you to talk about was that Lama had the knowledge of what it would be to have these sealed vases with all these empowered offerings inside might not get through customs. I mean, it was going to take a year for the monastery to make them for you, and they were going to ship them over to you in New Mexico. So he had an idea. Can you tell us what his idea was?
Yeah, he felt like they should mix into the clay the most potent offerings and medicines and sacred relics and substances that the lamas all gather up, you know, that connect to all the lineages of all the great masters of Tibetan Buddhism, going literally all the way back to the time of the Buddha and Guru Rinpoche, if you know anything about the Buddhism of Tibet, many, many, many great masters. So they gathered up relics and medicines and then literally mixed them into the clay and consecrated the pots and then sent them to me empty, so-called empty, and, you know, said, just, you know, here, you do this. And it was, at the time, it was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do this. You know, what do we do? And I wasn't getting much instruction, really. And so I put them in the closet. I didn't. And plus the assignment, it was very overwhelming because the world is in such need. And where do you even start? And where do you go? And how do you do this? So, but then I realized when we did pick them up about 5 years later, because of what was happening in the world and on the earth and in the various ecosystems of the world, you know, that we knew what to do, actually. And they had given us an opportunity to fill the vases ourselves. Instead of them being filled by the lamas and then sealed by them, and then, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of meaning if they were given to us that way, but given to us empty, then we were allowed to make our own offerings into them that were meaningful to us.
How wonderful, how wonderful. I just imagine these vases arriving, you're taking the time to really contemplate and meditate on what to do next. I'm here with Cynthia Jurs, and she is the author of Summoned by the Earth, Becoming a Holy Vessel for Healing Our World. And if you want to know more about all of her work and about this story and about the book, you can go to her website, GaiaMandala.net. Gaia spelled G-A-I-A, GaiaMandala.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Cynthia Jurz, and we're talking about earth treasure vases and the empowered ones. And you mentioned the word we. So who is the we that you're mentioning when you said that they were in the closet and then we brought them out of the closet? So who is the we?
So at the time, I was directing a sangha, a community of people practicing together. It is called the Open Way Sangha here in Santa Fe. And we used to gather every full moon, and actually we still do. And we sort of use the word Open Way Sangha, title Open Way Sangha, amongst ourselves. But we now call ourselves the Gaia Mandala Global Healing Community. And originally, we gathered in person. Of course, now we gather on Zoom every full moon and practice in a number of different ways. But it all began with the practice of the earth treasure vases that we would bring forward every full moon and do a meditation and then make our own offerings into these earth treasure vases that then started to go out around the planet. Starting here in New Mexico, we created the beginning of this global healing mandala by burying a treasure vase near Los Alamos National Laboratory, and then in each of the four directions around this region. And then they began to go out around the world, many of them taken by myself, but also slowly, slowly, people coming in from various places, offering and requesting them and taking them to other locations around the world. And slowly, this global healing mandala of locations where these earth treasure vases have been planted has grown up. And now it feels like, you know, we have this, it's like a living being in a way, where these locations are all contributing their energies into the restoration of balance and harmony in relationship to Mother Earth.
Well, in doing this, I know when you say burying them, after you do this ceremony where everyone maybe holds the vase and puts their prayer in, sometimes their tears in, yeah, and whatever it is, and they pass the vase around, and then it's sealed at that point, I imagine. But the actual burying, it's not that whole group that treks up the mountain to bury it. It's kind of a secret place that a few people do. Am I getting that image correct?
Well, every place we have gone, and there will be close to 100 when we're done, has been different. So some of the places that we have gone have included a group group pilgrimage, but some of them have been very individual, actually, and some of them have been somewhere in between, you know, and depending on the location, we are in response to whatever is going on in that place. And we never go into, I never go into any country around the world assuming that this is something that people want, you know, but we leave the treasure vases open to invite the prayers and offerings of people in the places where we're going, to make relations also with the elders of the land, the indigenous first peoples of the places where we go, if we are in a place where they are, and, you know, recognizing the fact that we don't want to perpetuate the old story of colonization, you know. So there's healing on many levels. But in any case, some of the burials have been more public and some of them have been very private. And the point being that the vases, once they're placed in the ground, they're not really to be ever dug up. So they're supposed to be buried in such a way that nobody would necessarily even know that they're there, you know. And it's not like, oh, here's the treasure vase, everyone. No. No, it's just quiet. It's just a quiet thing that happens in such a way that is very respectful and very honoring and sacred, usually accompanied by ceremony in whatever way is appropriate in that part of the world. But it's not like we make a big deal about it, you know?
One of the early moments of burying, it was at the headwaters of the Ganges. And so you traveled, and it was not easy to get to the headwaters, was it? And all the places that you went that you have written about in your book, there's usually some synchronistic person that shows up. It's just magical who showed up, who has shown up for you along the way. I'm just amazed at these beautiful, dedicated people, that guides who have been with you. And the first one, I think, was Nanima.
Was that Nanima? Yes.
Nanima, India. So yes. Tell us about that trek up the mountain.
Well, so we took a treasure vase, and this was a group pilgrimage. We took a treasure vase on the pilgrimage route of the Buddha's life, and we traced the footsteps of the Buddha for all the places that were most important to his life. And everywhere we went along that pilgrimage, we made offerings into the treasure vase, which was so beautiful. And then some of the group kind of peeled away, and a core group of us continued on up into the Ganges, the upper reaches of the Ganges, because we were aware, and the Tibetans say that sources of rivers are very good as a location to bury a treasure vase, because it's kind of like the prayers going out on the wind. The prayers in the vase can be carried by the flow of the river, you know, all the way down. So we had stopped in Varanasi at one point, and we made prayers at the Ganges there, which is, of course, a very important location for the Ganges, and also very polluted. And then we went all the way up. We weren't able to go to the actual source because it was still too early in the year, but we couldn't get there. But along the way, because of the snow. Yeah. Because it's glacier up there. But some of the yogis, you know, they live on the glacier way up at the source. And so very close to that part of the Ganges, we were introduced to a woman named Nanima, who had established a small ashram right along the side of the river and had lived next to the river in Rishikesh for many years with her guru, and then had established this little ashram. And she was just such a beautiful, beautiful woman. And she told us sort of where to go. We often seek the guidance of people, you know, in the location. And we were traveling with my beautiful Indian brother, Shantam Seth, who leads these pilgrimages in the footsteps of the Buddha from India, also a student of Thich Nhat Hanh's. And anyway, we met with Nanima, and she gave her blessing into the treasure vase. I write there's a beautiful chapter about pilgrimage that includes this story in the book. And she spoke about the way in which the Ganges is one of the rivers in the whole world. It's kind of the lifeblood of Mother Earth, you know, and such an important artery for the whole planet, not only physically, but also spiritually. And so she was, you know, incredibly moved and grateful that we were going to make this offering there. And she poured her love and her blessings into the vase, and then suggested an area where we could go. You know, in India, there's just people everywhere. And, you know, we want to bury the vase in such a way that it will never be dug up. People won't know it's there. It also looks kind of like a treasure. So, you know, you don't want people who are in need to think there's something really valuable in it, because it's actually not like that kind of value. So anyway, she gave us a lot of direction, and you're absolutely right. You know, every single treasure vase adventure has kind of facilitated the process of learning how to get out of our own way and not to impose our view on what we think should happen into the situation, but to allow ourselves to be guided by something so much larger than ourselves, you know, and call that whatever you want. But I call it, you know, Mother Gaia. She's calling the shots. She's saying, you know, to me anyway, go there, do this.
Love that. She's calling the shots. I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, so in that process, we sort of learn how to listen with other ears, you know, and follow our hearts and align ourselves with something, as I say, so much bigger than our normal way of operating. And, you know, this is part of the healing. This is part of how we align with the cycles of nature to restore balance and to listen to something other than the, you know, deafening din of the dominant culture that is taking us down the tubes really fast. So we, in the process, also learn how to be a vessel ourselves, because it's one thing to carry the little clay pot, but it's another thing to realize that, oh, you know, I am a holy vessel. I carry all of these intentions and hopes and dreams and wishes and prayers, and I can offer those into the world myself, you know, and that's really in some ways what the practice is inviting us to do.
So that's a beautifully said, and it gives us a vision of how each place is unique in itself, and the guides are unique, and the earth, the way she speaks to you in the group about how you should go about it, and the extreme patience that it takes to slow down enough to do that deep listening. And I know that there is something in one of the chapters that you write, and we'll talk about this maybe in more depth, is the sacred time when you are the vases of the treasure vases.
Mm-hmm.
So, sacred time.
Mm. Well, yes, I think when we do set aside our big agendas and what we think we know and all of that, you know, the lists and all the things that we're supposed to be doing, and we just stop for a minute and come back, as Thich Nhat Hanh would say, come back to our true self, you know, and to the holy relationship to Mother Earth that we're in service to, that something else starts to happen. And ceremony is a way of facilitating that ritual ceremony, and taking another breath in meditation.
Exactly. I'm here with Cynthia Jers. She is the author of Summoned by the Earth, Becoming a Holy Vessel for Healing Our World. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, GaiaMandala.net, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions